This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Tried, but I said, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not interested in your...
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely.
Does it really make any sense at all?
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely. You start at your people...
Are you blonde?
No, but I love it.
People like... We're trying to get them to the back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And this is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. And of course, our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's our Patriot line, 877-876-7445. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. Later on, Doug Danger joins us. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and the topic is going to be Charlie Sheen. And whether or not Charlie Sheen is a good thing or a bad thing for the entertainment business, your kids, and CBS. Coming up, Ted Bell is going to be discussing a potential lawsuit involving his restaurant and a patron. And what is happening? Ted runs one of the more prominent restaurants in Beverly Hills, California. And here is a guy who is being he's possibly considering a lawsuit against one of his own patrons for actions that took place in that restaurant last month. So that's all ahead here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. And don't forget, of course, our news hour comes up at the last hour of the show. And it'll be with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Join us also with our live streaming Phil TV video cast on our website, philhendryshow.com. Now new, enhanced, and by God, I think we pretty much got it in HD.
Well, is that verified?
You know what, man? I think it's just about high definition. I'm telling you. All right. So I gave you all the lowdown on what's happening on the show tonight. We also want to mention that our affiliate spotlight this evening casts its very firm gaze on Providence, Rhode Island, WSAR 1480 AM. Great people in Rhode Island and Grand Rapids, Michigan, WTKG 1230 AM in Grand Rapids. And PhilHendryShow.com is our, of course, our website. Let's join now Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we are going to be talking with him about this lawsuit that he's been talking with the not only his lawyer, but us about.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come out to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got the most delicious cuts of meat and a great time served
here
up every
at
night.
Ted's. In your mouth.
I know you have a lot on your mind tonight.
We have an awful lot on our mind, Phil, and I don't know what this woman was thinking. I'm not going to speculate. My attorney mentioned that we can talk about it in a limited way, but it's not anything that I think, I don't want to characterize it the wrong way. I can tell you what happened. And I can tell you that it's significant for me, and it's significant to come on your program and talk about this, because so many people in the restaurant business, Phil, are dealing with this. We are dealing with levels of abuse from our customers that we haven't ordinarily dealt with.
And so tell us what happened so we can sort of scope this out. This was an incident in which you were assaulted, right?
Absolutely, yes. It happened, as you mentioned, Bill, it happened in the middle of January last month. We were closing, pretty close to closing. We'd had some late parties come in, and we had a dessert that we were pushing, and we were very, very high on it, and it was a new kind of ice cream, and we also were serving it with our vanilla cake, and we were serving it with our chocolate cake. So we brought the dessert tray by this table. And there was an elderly woman there who, I have to tell you, she was not the friendliest person throughout the evening. So you could say, well, maybe you should have seen this coming, maybe not, I don't know. I said, you've got to try our dessert, please. It's right here on the dessert tray. And try this ice cream. We've got it in three flavors. We basically had this vanilla, chocolate, and...
And this was the dessert that you were pushing, huh?
Well, the ice cream was, yeah.
Okay, but you're putting it on cake or a la mode.
That's exactly. So she looks at me and she says, I'll take it a la mode on a piece of the French apple pie that we had. And I said, great. And we brought her two scoops. And she ate this. Now, we have been dealing with this supplier, Phil, and I think you know Len Hassinger and his brother. These are two suppliers who deal with a dairy and a dessert, sort of a dessert model, if you will, back in Chicago, and we really got a hold of this ice cream and really liked it. And so it's a Hassinger, it's part of the Hassinger dairy chain. So the woman ate the ice cream. And I said to her, how did you like it? She said it was delicious. And then I told her that it was breast milk ice cream. And that
it was what?
It was breast milk ice cream, okay? And this was what made it unique. It is ice cream made from the breast milk of women. And so we were excited about this product because we think it is a green product, meaning it is breast milk from a human woman. And so we are not taking up space in the traditional sense with the cows or steer. And this was an ice cream that was made from the milk of human beings. So you know the overhead is not that much, and it's a very, very delicious ice cream. She picks up the dish of ice cream, and that's when I was assaulted.
And what did she do?
She picked the ice cream up and she took the dish, which was a sterling silver dish. It was a sterling silver dish, and threw it at me, hitting me in the dish glanced off my head. I got ice cream all over the front of me, and I said to her, I'm going to call the police, and she said she wanted the police to, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be a gentleman about this. I'm going to sue you. Now, her husband, I happen to know, he runs a post-production house in Beverly Hills.
Hold on for a minute. So this woman picked up this ice cream and threw it at you.
Yes. After she picked up the tray, there was some pie left on it.
After you told her that it was breast milk ice cream.
That is correct. Now, her husband is a very wealthy post-production guy. And I got news for you, and I got news for them. And I got news for anybody that wants to hear the news. They don't want me coming after them. They don't want Ted Bellinger. The last place they want to see me is in a courtroom. And I was humiliated in front of my customers, in front of my employees. I was assaulted. And
is there anything in your mind that, do you feel it was fair to bring up the fact that it was breast milk ice cream?
What? I don't understand what is unfair about that. Breast milk ice cream, which, by the way...
I thought that the selling of breast milk in the United States was illegal.
No, but the selling of breast... Hold on for a minute. And don't... Please, Phil, don't start talking about things you don't know. The selling of breast milk is illegal. But this was on the house. It was also breast milk ice cream, all right? So it was not what we would call... it was not what you're going to call contraband. That's number one. But number two... She didn't pick that ice cream up and throw it at me because she felt it was illegal. She didn't do it for any other reason than the fact that she is a sour woman who I felt was offended by the fact that there are younger women providing product that she can't provide.
And you think she threw that ice cream at you because she was angry that you had served her breast milk ice cream at a time in her life when she can't create breast milk?
Absolutely. And she called me every name in the book. And
did she ever, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ted.
Go ahead.
Did she reference at all what she thought was the quasi-legal nature? And I'm not saying it was illegal.
Look, there was nothing illegal about it. It was, I gave it to her. It was in the product was made from breast milk. All right, so I didn't sell it, and it's a very delicious, I don't know if you've had breast milk ice cream, Phil.
No, I haven't.
Well, I can tell you I have, and it is absolutely delicious. And as I said, it came in three. We have the chocolate, we've got Dutch chocolate, and we've got vanilla. Actually, we have four. We have vanilla, and we got French vanilla. and that we carry those flavors because those are the most popular. But what she did to me by picking this up and throwing it at me, we got a little sidetracked. She assaulted me in my own restaurant. Now, this is a problem that we've had where patrons in restaurants, especially after they've had a few drinks, decide that they're going to get a little bit out of hand, they're going to throw things at people, or they're going to try to get into a fight. And we're restaurateurs. We are not, you know, we're not security people. We're not, we don't want to get involved in fights. We are simply individuals who are, you know, trying to run a business. And we have this this kind of thing happening, which to my way of thinking, Bill, is an actionable offense. The reason why I'm on your program talking about this...
Well, let's, can I interrupt one more time, Ted? I'll give her a number out. It's 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking to Ted Bell here tonight about breast milk ice cream.
Well, no, but really what we're talking about here is a patron assaulting me.
Yeah, we're talking about a patron of yours that assaulted you by throwing a dish of ice cream or a dish of pie. I guess she'd eaten all of it.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. When I found out, and I'm talking to her husband, I said, you got a problem. I said to her husband, I said, you got two problems. You got me, I'm coming after you, and you're married to her.
And what did he say to that?
What's he going to say? And this is one of the most powerful guys in town. He's got two post-production houses. But I said to him, you've got two problems. And I held my fingers up right in front of his face. And I said, two. I said, one. And I was holding the fingers up, and then I would peel one down at a time as I listed it. One, I'm suing you, which left, guess which finger it left?
So you're flipping the man off.
Exactly. And I said, and two, and I stuck that one right in his face, you're married to that. I was angry. I was angry.
All right, but again, what we're talking about here is the woman throwing this dish at you after she found out that you had given her breast milk ice cream. Do you think that there is anything to that?
Well, I told you that what I thought was to it. I said that the fact that she is not a young woman anymore, all right, she is not able to make breast milk herself. You come to the table and you say, and by the way, we've got a very delicious dessert this evening, breast milk ice cream, which if you get into the head of a woman, the first thing she's thinking is, you know, I can't make breast milk ice cream. I don't know whether they're thinking some, you know, woman that's loose. You know, what kind of woman, you know, to be honest with you, and I've never asked the question, but what kind of woman, you know, lends her breast milk to make ice cream. I, to be honest with you, I sell it, or I wouldn't sell it, but I do have it in my restaurant to give away. But I do question, you know, the character, I guess, of a woman that's going to.
All right. So you're saying that you have this breast milk ice cream,
but I just question the character of any woman that would donate her own breast milk for this. But I think you've gotten a little bit off point.
Well, there's parallel things happening here, Ted. And our number, folks, 877-876-7445. On the one hand, you have the woman who threw that dish at you, the lawsuit that you're going to file, and rightfully so. And I don't know, was there a police report?
Oh, we both wanted the police. I said, I'm calling the police. She said, I'm calling the police, too. I said, you know what? I tell you what I'll do. How about if I just sue you? And that backed her off, and it backed her husband off, and they just, I have to tell you, they fled the restaurant is the best way I can put it.
All right, well, you've got a couple of things going on here, in my opinion. You have not only the fact that she threw this ice cream dish at you, you also have the fact that it was breast milk ice cream. Now, I know it's against the, I know you didn't sell it.
No, I did not sell it. No, I did not. I'd like you to not keep bringing that up, because I didn't sell it.
All right, so you just gave it to them as a treat.
I gave it to them because it was late. Because we had it, it's delicious, and I said, you've got to try this, and she...
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Well,
Feds of Beverly Hills sponsoring this portion of the world famous Phil Henry Show, Radio for Patriots. I gotta remember what that is, Phil. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. There you go.
Here at 10,
in Beverly Hills, California.
Are you a native, Ted?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles originally. I was born and raised in, believe it or not, Inglewood.
Well, when you say believe it or not, people should know what we mean, because it's primarily an African-American neighborhood.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I am white. Not that there's anything unusual about, a white man coming from a place that... I drove by our old house, and it was right there in Inglewood, and I said, there's a black guy sleeping in my bed now.
Good God, Ted.
Well, I don't mean that racially, and I know you want me to mean it that way.
No, I don't. I just don't find that tasteful.
I don't mean it racially, and I apologize.
All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the serving of ice cream to a woman. It turned out to be breast milk ice cream. And the woman throwing the dish of ice cream in your face.
And it was, by the way, it was on the house.
And it was comp, yes. I wanted to ask you before we take one of our calls, do you not think you should tell someone before you serve them food made from a fluid from a human being?
I think, Phil, you put it that way to make it sound as vile as you could, and I really resent that. And
no, I think I put it very objectively.
Well, what difference does it make? That we eat food that is from the body of a mammal. We eat mammals. We eat. What is different from a woman?
We don't eat human. We don't eat human flesh.
Oh my God! We're not talking about eating human flesh. We're talking about breast milk, which is as pure and as it is a breast milk is. I think the very symbol. You know, I can't believe it. I got a dish thrown at me, and I looked at her. And I said, it's made from breast milk, and she got the sourest look on her face like a woman that's full of hate.
All right, let me take a call very quickly, and I apologize to our callers. We're running a little late tonight. Here is Sherry in Bakersfield, California. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, ma'am.
I don't know what he's thinking. Female breast milk, why didn't he tell her in the beginning that this is something we're comping, we're giving you? It's a new ice cream. It's female breast milk.
You didn't tell her it was female
breast milk.
That is you're not going to come out and say that because that's the, what do you call it? That's the surprise, if you will.
Okay, that's why you got the dish thrown at you.
Well, it didn't make any difference in my mind whether it was female breast. I thought it was unusual because it was made from female breast milk that it was so delicious.
No, I'll tell you, female breast milk carries whatever that mother eats. That's why a lot of babies cannot drink their mother's milk because of the filtering. It's got stuff in it. If they're on drugs, if they're on alcohol, and you fed this woman.
How do you know the woman wasn't, how do you know where this breast milk comes from?
The breast milk the Hassinger brothers use?
Yeah.
It is absolute. It comes from people that they know, friends of theirs.
Oh, God, man, I don't know if that's anything. Sherry, why don't you hang on the line? We'll be right back with you and Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
God.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Test of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show is not only brought to you by Tents of Beverly Hills, it's brought to you by Dynapep, a fantastic, fantastic product. Here's Phil Henry to tell you a little bit more about Dynapep.
Here at Tents,
the micro shot.
You want
Thank you, Ted.
I've tried the Dynapep. I like it a lot.
Dynapep is one of our sponsors. And, of course, Dynapep, a sponsor to our program and a product that we use. And, of course, Ted the Bear, you know.
I saw Ted the Bear with the bells on his neck and everything. Very cute. Although I didn't like him,
Never mind. Dynapep is a micro energy shot, folks, that we use on this program. I use Dynapep some nights when you really need an extra little pick me up. There's no sugar, there's no crash, there's no jitters, there's only 2 calories, okay? So it's a healthy micro shot, and it gets you through the night focused and alert, or keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. We have Dynapep here in studio, and if you're watching our video cast tonight, our Phil TV video cast, show you the Dynapep, and then you see Buddy Bear has got some Dynapep. This is the Dynapep that I took this evening. It's a cinnamon-flavored Dynapep, and it is awesome. I may have another one here. It's Dynapep, and go to Dynapep.com to learn more. Dynapep.com. Ted Bell with us. We're going to go back to our listener, Sherry, who is very patient, waiting in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Sherry. And the question I had, and you brought it up as well, Sherry, is selling somebody a product that is a bodily fluid.
You know, you make it sound like I was selling that woman urine. And I think there's a difference between that and mother's milk.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, the scientists say that urine is purified. It is sanitary water. So what's the difference? That's gross to be sending. Why would you...
Are you telling me that mother's milk that we feed babies is the same as someone peeing into a bottle?
Well,
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
We are? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Phil?
It's purified.
I'm talking to a lady.
So you tell me. Okay. How would you like if somebody had served you...
Oh, my God. Are you
a man's body fluid? No, wait. How would you like it if somebody had given you a man's bodily fluid in a tiramisu or in some kind of... How would you like that once you found out after you had eaten it? How would you react?
Let me ask you, how many times have you put that into food and not told anybody? Thank you.
That's absolutely rude.
Well, I don't know why she gets off asking me
something. No, it's not rude. I'm telling you.
Breast milk is meant to be consumed, and I think with the other
only,
that you're talking about, no, it isn't. Wow.
Not necessarily.
We've talked a lot of women into it. But
hey, hold on. I want to watch where we're going with this conversation.
What?
What you just said.
A lot of babies cannot ingest.
Like I said, we've talked. The point is, some babies may be able to eat it and some may not, but it is intended to be consumed. It's there for the nourishment and for the survival of the infant. The other liquids you're talking about is not.
How do you
Sherry,
know?
Thank you so much.
Thank
you so much.
That's
yeah, how do
point.
We know?
How do we know? How do we
how
know?
How do you know?
The two liquids
because
that you mentioned, I have one is a waste. One is a waste product. The other is for the procreation of life. Neither of which is the consumption of a food.
I can't believe
that you have me. You know, ma'am, you're starting to make me think what you have for lunch every day.
No, I eat regular food that goes to the FDA.
No, I doubt that. Not after what I just heard you say. I doubt that sincerely.
Okay, let's stop while we're ahead.
For your ice cream been passed by the FDA?
Wait a minute. You got done telling me that a man's you-know-what and something else is perfectly fine as food, and you use it in soups and stews.
So no,
she
that's
never
not
said
what
that.
I said.
You pretty much said
how
that.
How would you like
no,
it?
No, she didn't. All right, if somebody snuck it into a food. All right, Sherry, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here. It's Roger in St. Louis. Go ahead, Roger, on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I'd like to kind of steer this in a more respectable direction. I have food allergies. And this restaurateur needs to understand that a guy like me, if you said, oh, surprise, there's an ingredient, okay, I get extremely ill over certain things. I'm allergic to perfumes.
Well, would you say that?
I would be extremely offended if somebody just...
Wouldn't you say to me, excuse me, before you bring me that food, I want you to know I have food allergies.
Yeah.
Would you say that? All right.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure I win.
What do you mean you win?
No.
I think you're
bringing me ice cream, and then afterwards you say surprise, you wouldn't have got
it. If I brought you ice cream, would you not say to me, and you wouldn't have woke up for an hour?
And the cops would have taken me to jail because I'd have sat in jail. You're a jerk, but I don't think you've got anything to do with that kind of stuff. You have a responsibility to the public, mister.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Hey.
Well, this guy isn't even going to tell me he's going to sit there. Yeah, I bet you'd be offended by women's breast milk, wouldn't you? That'd really upset you. Guy like you.
Okay, I wouldn't have... Me, personally, if you let me know ahead of time, wouldn't have had a problem.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
You have food allergy. Yeah, get out of here.
This isn't worth my breath.
No, you're not making sense. That's why you're hanging up, because you know I kicked your ass. All 6 foot four of you.
Hey, what is it with you?
Well, this guy came on and said... He came on...
What's the matter?
Well, he came on, he said that he had food allergies, okay?
What, Ted, if you're emotional about this...
Well, and then I said, okay, wouldn't you tell me that you did? And he said, yeah, and I beat him, and he kept talking.
Are you crying?
Well, why don't you do something to defend me?
The man made a statement, and I think what...
I heard what his statement was, but you didn't say anything.
The point is this, okay? And I think we have to stick to the point. The point is, you served that woman breast milk ice cream. It should have been something that you volunteered.
What about if she has a food allergy?
Whether she has a food allergy or whether she doesn't, as a restaurateur, as the owner of the business, don't you think you should tell people?
Well, what am I supposed to say? What kind of cow the milk came out? If I serve somebody some ice cream... And I say it's ice cream. You want me to give them the ingredients? Oh, and by the way, this is ice cream. You know it's made from milk. And here's the kind of cow it came out of. And the cow was raised in New Jersey. And it ate this kind of grass. That's ridiculous. That guy that I just got done talking to is offended by the idea of nursing at a woman's breast. How's that feel?
I'm embarrassed for you.
Why?
Because that was childish.
What? But I just... Oh, man, you are... And I sponsor your program.
Yeah, you sponsor my program. I'm embarrassed for what you just said. I thought it was extremely childish. 877-876-7445. Here is Tom in Hesperia, California. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question, Ted. Where does this milk come from again?
What's that?
Where does it come... What brothers? Who offers the milk?
This is a dairy in Chicago, the Hassinger Brothers.
Okay, and you said it's a bunch of their friends that just come in and just supply the milk for the ice cream?
This was milk to be our people that they know.
Okay, and who regulates, you know, who regulates
woman,
the people that they know?
Who regulates that? Regulates?
Like
I thought
FDA,
we were living in a day and age. I thought we were living in a day and age where we had too much government.
No, this is not. This is not, no, we're not going down that road. And don't cry, Ted, don't cry.
No, that's exactly the road we're going to go down. We're going to go down that road. I thought we lived in a day and age where there's too much government.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I did not. I said,
no, he did
you
not.
Said that a bunch of women get in a room and supply the breast milk. Who regulates to make sure that they're not getting paid? How do you know there's not a sign on the door that says, hey, donate breast milk? Who knows what these women are, whether they're on drugs or alcohol or not?
How do I know you're not a Republican that's all of a sudden taking cover under the FDA's umbrella?
I am a Republican. That's why I'm calling the Patriot Hotline.
So all of us, you're a Republican, and now you want the regulating breast milk.
Ted, you're veering way up. The point is, you're serving this to someone that consumes it. You have no control over where the breast milk comes. Some brother's factory has some chicks walk in and donate milk.
Do you honestly think that that's why? Do you honestly think that's why that woman threw that plate of ice cream at me?
she threw it at you because you didn't say where it came from. You didn't say, oh, by the way.
She threw it at me because she was an old, dried-up bag.
You're filing a lawsuit against this family, man, and you're coming out and you're saying all this stuff, and it's going to prejudice the hell out of your case.
My attorney knows I'm talking about this. Okay? Yeah,
but everything you're saying on the show tonight, they're going to put into a countersuit, man.
She may be a dried-up bag, but that you didn't say, oh, by the way, this is breast milk. You said ice cream, enjoy, it's on the house.
Well, hey, let me ask you a question. Breast milk happens to be the latest thing in nutrition and in food, and we had this and we served it. Okay?
Okay, no. So, too, it's essential for life. I understand that. The people should know about it. It shouldn't be known about, and you as a restaurateur should regulate. I know God forbid you use that word. You wear this where this comes from.
Well, why would you want regulation if I see that's the thing that really...
Let's get off that, man, because the gentleman's right. There's nothing... What was your question, sir?
He asked me, where did it come from? You want me to say it a different way? It's women's breast milk.
Okay, all right, I understand that, but there's no one that said these women have been tested for drugs or alcohol. They're this or that or the other thing. You said it's a bunch of brothers that own this factory. This girl's come in, they donated.
Yes.
Now you're giving it away. You're finding the loophole.
These are families. These are families, and they are healthy. They're Midwest families, Midwest women.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I happen to know the Hassinger brothers very well. And secondly, if you've got a prejudice against big, fat women, which is probably what they are... I don't think you really are concerned at all, sir.
I have a prejudice about putting things in my body that I don't know where they come from. I have a prejudice against that. If I choose to go and smoke a cigarette or I choose to drink a beer, I'm choosing that. I don't choose to have ice cream.
Well, let me ask you, when you and your husband get together and talk about this...
Okay, what is that crack?
Wow.
I think you know what I mean.
So what has that got to do with anything?
Starting to cry.
I think he's prejudiced against women's breasts.
I love women. I love women's breasts. I love them to death.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean I want that squirted in my coffee when I don't know the lady.
All right, Doctor. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, thanks very much, man. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I had to laugh at that last line, even though
I'm a sponsor of this program, and I'm disgusted by you, and I'm disgusted by your engineer, who I hope dumped that. And
he dumps what he thinks he ought to dump, and not...
As a sponsor...
You're the guy that's selling or giving away or whatever you're doing women's breast milk.
Well, now I think I've heard it all. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you call the police and have me arrested and have me drugged behind a Jeep and beaten because I happen to think women's breast milk is a good thing. Please call the police. Have me thrown in. You ought to hear yourself.
No, you ought to hear yourself. You just sounded like a jackball again. Okay?
How long do you think I'm going to sponsor this portion of your program?
I got Dynapep. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on giving a woman breast milk ice cream. I mean, how funky is that, you know, if you don't tell her what it is first? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger next hour talking about Charlie Sheen.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, ladies and gentlemen, where we endeavor to be great hosts. And to come into my restaurant and physically assault me as that woman, well...
Can I make a suggestion?
What?
I would not, in the middle of a commercial, try to make these pitches that you're making on the show, you know?
You know what, Phil? I appreciate very much your suggestion, but I think a moment ago here, I think you showed your colors a little bit by talking to me. As you were saying that I was being rude to some woman who said that she puts a man's fluid into clam chowder. I forget.
She never said anything of the sort. What is it with you, man?
What is it with me? She said she brought that up. I didn't.
Yeah, she did, but she didn't say she puts it in clam chowder.
Well, what do you think she does? She brings it up. Oh, well. And I said, it's not edible. Or she goes, how do you know? Well, I can tell you, ma'am, if you're still listening, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't know. So, wow. Okay? I mean, can we...
All right, I'm just...
Are you stunned by how stupid I am?
No, I'm not stunned by how stupid you are, but I think that what you're saying here does not help your case in this lawsuit. 877-876-7445. Here is Jeremy in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Jeremy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Mark, there's a reason why good restaurants give you a menu so that you can pick what you want and know exactly what ingredients are in what you're eating. So it's no wonder why Mr. Ted here has deliberately held off that information of being breast milk ice cream to give to the young lady, not the elderly. The other thing that when she assaulted
Can I ask you something? I asked her, would you like to have a delicious dessert?
It's not about a delicious dessert. It's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's exactly what you said earlier. You like breast milk. You don't know if she does or not, so give her the option to make that decision for herself.
Why didn't she say no?
That's the reason why she was upset. It had nothing to do with her being elderly and not being able to produce breast milk. That is not the first thought that went through her head. It's the fact that you assaulted her because you put something in her body that she did not choose to put in there.
I think it's interesting, sir, that you know her better than I do. I'm the one that she threw a whole dish of ice cream at.
And well, you said it wasn't a whole dish. Yeah,
but you also said,
Ted, it wasn't a whole dish of ice cream. You said it was she'd eaten all of it.
It was a curling silver dish that you said, and you deserved it because you assaulted her by putting something into her body that she did not choose to be there.
Wait a minute, but you don't know what you're talking about, young man. First of all, the woman said to me, what's in it? And I said, it's a surprise. And she goes, I like surprises. If you had some questions, you didn't tell me that.
Being this tough guy inside of a courtroom, you should know the term full disclosure. You should have given her the information ahead of time before allowing her to put something in her body.
We're not in a courtroom, we're in a restaurant. We're in a court. We're not in a court of law. We're in a restaurant. And she,
You repeated four different times how you don't want to see you inside of a courtroom. Or
that's exactly right. That's right.
So you don't want to see me in a courtroom.
And you don't want to see me standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish at me.
Your intelligence level is about the size of your shoe. So here's the reality. This guy's going to tell me the reality.
This ought to be good.
This is the reality. Your restaurant must not be doing that well for you to have to sue an elderly woman just because you were...
I'm not suing her. I'm suing her husband. And her husband owns one of the biggest post-production houses in L.A., so you don't know what you're talking
exactly
about.
Right.
Number two, nobody throws a dish at me in my own restaurant. And number two, if it had been you throwing a dish at me, you're just a tough guy against an elderly woman.
Because had it been somebody else, you wouldn't be doing this right now. Because they have
she threw the dish at me.
She made me out to be some kind of a clown.
Because, well, you've had things in your body that you chose not to have, haven't you?
No.
Okay, Ted, why don't you grow up? Okay. Why don't you grow up?
Yeah, sure.
And again, this is what I'm arguing with my 12-year-old little girl, because it's the same mentality. Because this gentleman here, obviously,
I guess he's never heard
of the mentality that the customer's always right, because he talks about
the customer's not always right.
Anybody else say
the customer's not always right. The customer's not always right. Sometimes
maybe,
the customer's
maybe if you were to shut your mouth and open your ears, you might learn something.
Like any place you eat, I'm sure they've got at least one customer that's a blithering idiot. And I've got another thing to say.
We're all out of time.
You let this guy go on?
That's it.
So, Big Mouth here. You know something, buddy? I hope you eat. A steak's on me. Come on out to Beverly Hills.
Phil Hendry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Are you blonde?
No, but I love it.
We run errands, we eat, we play with the kids.
We think I'm a fun player.
We're trying to get them to the backup, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
Outside interests. I always love to give anybody the benefit of the doubt.
I saw a man expose himself.
I forgot he was black tonight.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and through the looking glass we go, going places other talk shows only wish they could go. This is radio for patriots by patriots. And listen, dial up the Patriot line right now, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier about Charlie Sheen, the actor, son of Martin Sheen, star of Two and a Half Men, the star of a great many motion pictures as well. And currently, currently a guy who's been in the news quite a bit because of, one might say, aberrant or unusual social behavior, or perhaps it's very usual for certain kinds of people, people who are either, I don't know, in the entertainment business, or people who are celebrity types, or just people who are mentally ill. We're going to find out from Doug Danger this evening what his take on this is. 877-876-7445 is our number. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com with our new Phil TV look. And check it out. It is an enhanced view. In fact, our radio show is a radio show that's already interesting to look at. We now have a multi-camera special effects, darn near HD with our Phil TV cast. So check it out at philhendryshow.com. We'll get Doug Danger in here in just a moment, but Charlie Sheen is the topic of conversation here. Send me the Charlie Sheen material if you wouldn't mind, Jace. Bud, you grab that audio. Robert, you just stand there and do what you're doing.
All right.
And really what we're dealing with here is a guy who has been in the news recently because of his relationship with his employers. He's not done talking, by the way, amid a very high-profile series of interviews on Monday that managed to upstage post-Oscar buzz. The Two and a Half Men star showed no sign of slowing his media blitz against the producers of his top-rated television show, Two and a Half Men. Television crews came and went from the actor's hilltop home, which he has dubbed Sober Valley Lodge, the setting for segments scheduled to air on Access Hollywood and NBC's Today Show. He also held court on Tuesday with Howard Stern discussing his clash with producers over his personal life and his lengthy extracurricular career as a Hollywood playboy. Sheen told the Associated Press he wasn't satisfied with an agreement by Warner Brothers Television to pay the men crew for only half of the 8 episodes canceled when producers tired of their stars' off-screen antics. He called it a start and said his efforts are, quote, paying off, but declared, I won't sleep until I get all 8. I don't care about me right now. I care about the crew. He told the AP he planned to keep up his media blitz until the show's crew was paid for the rest of this season's shows. We're going to get some of this Charlie Sheen audio up on the board for you here. So he was doing Howard Stern. He was on the Today Show. Here is on the Today Show this morning. It's Charlie Sheen telling reporter Jeff Rosen that CBS and Warner Brothers need to pay the crew and cast for all 8 episodes that were canceled, not just the 4. Here is Charlie Sheen.
Good. It's a start. It's a start. I won't sleep till they get 8. And then I'm going to work on my cast, and I'm going to worry about myself last.
Do you think because of the pressure you're applying, they're getting paid now?
Well, yeah. Who else is applying pressure? John Cryer, Angus, anybody? Nobody's applying pressure. No one's doing anything. They're just sitting home, like, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, well, they're sitting home, dude, because you called somebody Chaim Levine. You thought about that one? Here is, what's this next piece of audio? I can't read your writing, man. Number two, Charlie Sheen Media Blitz continued. Can't read it.
We run errands. We eat. We play with the kids.
We think of fun plans and execute them.
Yeah, we watch.
Do me a favor, will you, Jace? Put that in legible form, please, and send it to me again. Thank you. This is obviously Charlie Sheen with his wife.
We run errands. We eat. We play with the kids.
We think of fun plans and execute them.
Yeah, we watch movies. I watch a lot of Two and a Half Men.
Do you love his kids? I mean,
are you kidding? I was just up there with him right now. Bob was like, I didn't want to put him down. I'm like, they're like, they're calling you. I'm like, I don't want to put him down. And he's like, can I come? He's like, okay. He's like, bye. Saying bye to the...
No, Bob gets it. If you say dad's busy, he goes, okay, dad busy. You know, who knows?
Is this pretty normal? I mean, are you pictures of the kids on the fridge?
I mean, aside from the days when we sit there with a big old palm frond and fan.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't run with that.
All right, those are two porn stars. It's not his wife. Why would I think that was a wife? Here is cut number three, Charlie Sheen, Media Blitz. He says that he is who he is. Take it or leave it.
I am grandiose because I live a grandiose life. And I'm tired of being aw shucks. No, that's not me. But yes, that is me. Thank you for recognizing it, and I support it. What's wrong with that? For years, there were actors that I thought were so arrogant and so completely full of themselves. Now I look back on some of that, and I go, wow, they were just uber confident, you know? They were just projecting an image that they believed to be true. Mm-hmm. Now I get it.
All right, here, this interviewer, Jeff Rosen, reviews some Twitter comments about yesterday's interview, including some that called the actor an ego case, and here is Sheen reacting to those.
Wow, I don't come from a place of ego. And, you know, what does this guy say?
Somebody said, what did Charlie smell like? He looks disheveled and sounds like he smokes a carton a day.
Yeah, good, great, whatever.
Does that hurt you? Does that hurt you?
No, it's sad for them. It's like, get a job, anyone? Charlie seems manic. I'm sad for his kids. I'm sad that you have time to write about this, and you might not ever have kids. Because you all, obviously, if you... I don't even want to get into it. It's so silly, you know?
One person, one woman did write, I agree with him.
Well, she's awake. The others, you know.
All right, here is Sheen asked whether his family has reached out to him to offer their support.
Yeah, they tried, but I said, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not interested in your rhetoric right now. I appreciate your love and your compassion, if that's what you want to call it. But no, I'm not. I'm 45 years old, and I'm not interested in people treating me like a 12-year-old.
Even your own father?
Yeah, my own dad. Yeah. He's gnarly. It's Captain Willard. I mean, come on, you know. Greatest film ever made, but...
What?
But it's a different dialogue, you know. He's on a different channel, and that's all right. He's entitled. But I've just sort of evolved beyond it.
Speaking of his dad, here is Martin Sheen, the father, giving a rare interview about his son Charlie to Sky News.
He's an extraordinary man, you know, and if he had cancer, how would we treat him, you know? The disease of addiction is a form of cancer, and you have to have an equal measure of concern and love and lift them up, and so that's what we do for him.
All right, so there you have that, folks, and we did take some time to play all of that audio for you. You need to get the full taste of Charlie Sheen. Now, you know his television show has been canceled. It was put on hiatus, meaning it was put onto a, I think that they had canceled the rest of the season, but they hadn't necessarily canceled the series. But here's Doug Danger, who is a interviewer, rather entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. And, you know, I don't know why we care about these things, Doug, but we do. And he's a celebrity, and he's interesting. And now he seems to be sort of, in my opinion, he seems to be rubbing our faces in it.
Well, Phil, right now, let me just tell you what I know. I know you have your philosophy. I know your audience has its philosophy. Let me tell you what I know, and let me tell you what I think is really happening here. In fact, I know this is what's happening here. As you know, I've been writing for the Orange County Courier now for some 15 years. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and so I come from a place of real honesty. Charlie Sheen, you know, CBS has made a big mistake. I think anybody who knows the real story here knows that CBS has made a huge mistake. They've fired a big moneymaker for them. They have taken an individual who is a very talented guy and essentially have said, we don't like you saying certain things and we don't like you acting a certain way, even though this man's one of the most accomplished people in the history of the medium. And if you take an actor, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and what I mean by that is if I can see, if you take an actor like Charlie Sheen, and you put him up against the average person. Well, he is head and shoulders above the average person, not because he's a better person, but he's achieved more. So when a man has achieved more, you have to look at that and say he is deserving of a wider area to operate in. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can see that. I can see that this guy needs a wider latitude. He is at the very top of his business. He's going to get even more successful. He's in many ways, Phil, he's a role model, I think, to a lot of young people.
All right, now, just stop right there. You mean he's a role model in what way?
I think, well, Charlie Sheen's a role model in the paradigm of the American male. I mean, here's a guy that's handsome, he's got money, sex, he's driven, he's powerful. He is very powerful. As a matter of fact, I have no doubt that he's more powerful than the people who told him that his TV show is no more. I think deep down we've got a lot of parents out there that want their children to emulate Charlie Sheen. I think it's probably something they're not going to admit to because of the fact that he's a Hell's Angel. He's the guy that we want to be. He's the guy that we see going down the road on a Harley Davidson with the big colors of an outlaw motorcycle gang or what have you. And there is a man in a car on that freeway who doesn't say to himself, "Boy, I wish I had that life. I wish I was that free." I think that's Charlie Sheen. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I can relate to that because I'm not straight, so I'm not tied to a traditional marriage in that way. And I think CBS is going to lose viewers. I think CBS is going to lose advertisers. I think CBS is going to lose goodwill. And I think that people tune in to see this man break the rules. And as a role model, I think people tune in to see what he's going to do next.
All right, you've said a lot there. You've said he's a role model. You've said that people want to be him. The reaction to Charlie Sheen has been one of, there are people who are distasteful. You know, there's distaste. There is the feeling that he's mentally ill.
He's an unusual guy. I think, you know, it's a tragedy in America, especially more than any other country, that when someone is eccentric or unusual, we call them mentally ill. Charlie Sheen hasn't hurt anybody. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want to make that point. And yeah, and I haven't heard anybody say this. Charlie Sheen hasn't hurt anybody.
His behavior got a TV show canceled. There's crew members that are out of work. There is a cast that's out of work. There's there's hundreds of people that are affected by the cancellation of that television show.
CBS canceled that show. Charlie Sheen didn't cancel that show. CBS.
How are you supposed to act to a guy who is saying Chaim Levine?
What did he say? He said, "Chaim Levine."
It was obviously an anti-Semitic slap.
Well, you know, look, he said that he meant it as a joke. And let's be honest, that you can't turn around in Hollywood without bumping into, you know, a guy that's Jewish. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm a member of a minority.
All right, well, let me ask you this. How would you feel if somebody started knocking gays that way?
What do you mean?
What if I said something along the lines of, "Well, you know, Doug Danger, the producer of our show, Little Marianne, you know, getting into his pink pajamas."
Well, you wouldn't do that. You know me, and I know you. You wouldn't do that because you know that I would react. I mean, I would react directly. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I would react to you directly.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'd probably walk up to you, give you a chance to take it back, and then it'd be on.
Well, what about, okay, so, but the point is, you know, so you respond to me with violence, but the point is, you know, I insulted you.
Right, you insulted me. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but you can't turn around in Hollywood without bumping into, and I say this with the greatest of love in my heart, Phil, without bumping into a member of, you know, the tribe of Abraham, you know, friends of Abraham. So,
And how am I supposed to take that comment?
What do you mean?
Well, that sounds a little condescending and disparaging.
Oh, there's nothing condescending. Charlie Sheen was making a point about the fact, here's another one, Chaim Levine, and, you know, they're all over the place.
Well, to me, that's a slam. That is a bigoted remark. And no wonder he got the show canceled because of that. I mean, look, there are guys that have gotten shows canceled or lost their jobs over less, you know.
Like who?
Oh, you know, Doug, before you were even in the newspaper business, we had guys like Al Campanis, and we had people like this. He was the general manager of the Dodgers. Is that black people couldn't swim?
I'm not saying the Jews can't do anything.
Well, it's the same kind of comment.
Well, look, I think what is happening here is a complete lack of understanding of what Charlie Sheen is. Charlie Sheen is a superstar. Charlie Sheen is a superstar, and they want this guy, just as he said, to toe the line and to be like a lot of American men, quiet, calm, meek. That's not Charlie Sheen. See what I'm saying?
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break here if you want to call and give your opinion about Charlie Sheen. There's Doug Danger saying that Charlie Sheen is a he's a superstar, and CBS has made a big mistake, and Charlie Sheen is heroic, and Charlie Sheen could very well be a good role model for your kids. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Back here with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we're talking here about Doug Danger, or excuse me, we're talking to Doug, and we're talking about Charlie Sheen, an actor who has lost his job, and I dare say he's lost the job of a lot of people, okay? He's a guy who had...
Phil, can I just interrupt you for a minute here?
Okay.
He hasn't lost anybody's job. Charlie Sheen is standing today, I think, as an example of a successful man, and we don't like successful men. I mean, you've got a lot of people in America right now who are, they need a scapegoat. There's a lot of losing going on in America today. We got a lot of people that are out of jobs. We got a lot of people that don't have enough money. We got a lot of people. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I wrote about this last Sunday in a column. I said, look at all the losers, and I'm not singling anybody out, but look at all the losers we got in this country. Of course they're not going to like Charlie Sheen. You know,
you're trying to make this, though, into Charlie Sheen's a winner, everybody's a loser, and that's why they don't like him.
That's pretty much what we've got going on here. Okay? Now, this is the type of man that fathers and mothers want their sons to be. He stands up to injustice. He's headstrong. He's smart. He's successful. People are going to stop watching television. And my job as an entertainment writer, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and this is why the Orange County Courier hired me, because I have an ability to look at these things and speak to them honestly. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I am telling you that Charlie Sheen was the engine driving CBS, and they suddenly, because their pride got in the way, decided to kick him into the street. This guy's a big story.
Well, you know, he's made himself a big story.
How do you figure that?
How do I figure that?
Are you trying to tell me, in other words, he went out and tried to make headlines?
As a matter of fact, that's what I think he did. He went out and tried to make headlines. He made himself a big story by going out and obviously getting the interviews. I mean, he called the Today Show back. And the guy is a drug user. The guy visits prostitutes. How is this guy a role model?
The guy is honest, Phil. And let me tell you, he is a television and movie star, so they are different. They are people that are in a very high-pressure business. They're people that are in a very high-pressure kind of profession. And as a result of that, they need, like I say, a little bit more elbow room.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Ron in Boston. Go ahead.
Hey, I don't know it yet, but I guess you're on the air with a gay male and a gay journalist. You can say it 150 times. But
I didn't hear you, sir.
What did he say?
I didn't hear it the first time when you said you're a gay man and a gay journalist. What's that have to do with anything? Number one, and the same Charlie Sheen.
You got a problem with the word journalist, gay journalist.
Yeah,
gay
journalist. You don't get your message, but the whole thing about Charlie Sheen, he's got a wall block.
Because you don't know how to pronounce it.
He may be.
Okay, right. We've got the point.
Whatever. The whole thing, to me, is not a role model. I mean, he's a drug addict. I mean, he's just put people out of work. He's anti-Semitic.
If he's a drug addict,
you're a joke, Doug. You're going to beat up Phil if he makes a gay statement, but he can make an anti-Semitic statement, and it's okay. I mean, that's a total contradiction, sir.
Another thing is, you can turn around the same thing with a Jew
in Hollywood. There's a gay guy in Hollywood every time you turn around. So
Well, how do you know? You're in Boston, and you guys don't like Jews back there anyway.
Whoa. Hold on for a minute.
This guy's making comments about anti-Semitism. All I'm saying is, Charlie made a joke about a guy that's a friend of his. There's Jews in Hollywood.
And there's gay guys in Hollywood, just like this man said.
Exactly.
How many of them own studios? How many of them are running studios?
I don't know. Maybe a lot of them. And there's a lot of gay directors.
Well, I'm just telling you right now. I mean, I'm not going to stand for it. But Gene was talking about a friend of his.
And I'm a friend of yours, I thought. All right, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Charlie Sheen, is he actually a powerful man? Is he actually a role model? Is he actually somebody to be admired? Doug Danger thinks so. What is your opinion? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You're a gay man. Welcome back to the program, the Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger, who is the entertainment writer of the Orange County Courier, and we're talking about the Charlie Sheen, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Charlie Sheen story.
Okay, the Charlie Sheen story. And Charlie Sheen, you're telling me and you're telling my listeners, is a role model. Now, please explain that.
All right, I'm going to explain that. And I want to explain one other thing. You had the guy call in from Boston and said, how dare I say, I am not an anti-Semite. I'm saying that Charlie Sheen said, Chaim Levine. Look, most of America, especially Phil, and you know it as well as I do. Most of America, especially this time of night, I don't think it's a big deal if Charlie Sheen says something about Levine this or Levine that. Okay?
Meaning what? We got a lot of anti-Semites listening?
I'm just telling you that it's not the number one thing on anybody's plate in terms of what they're going to be concerned with. What people want is an example of a guy that wins. Charlie Sheen wins. And I'm really surprised.
Charlie Sheen wins at what? I mean, he's living with two hookers.
Look, again, where do you think? We're not talking about a guy that's the president of the Chamber of Commerce. We're talking about a movie star. Now, here is a guy, in America today, we consider a man powerful if a man has sex appeal. We consider a man powerful if a man is able to be driven. And is able to have not only sex appeal and is driven, but is a guy that's got a career that he makes a lot of money at, a guy that has a job that he makes a lot of money at, and a guy that is able to direct a course of events. All of these things Charlie Sheen is. And CBS firing this guy is a big mistake. Now, he is a role model for young people.
How is the guy a role model, all right? He may be a role...
He's a role model, Phil, for young people who want to have power in this world, who want to have an ability to make a dollar in this world. We're in a country right now, Phil, that's flat on its ass broke. Okay, I challenge your listeners out there right now. Look at this country. Can't make a dime. Nobody. You know who's making money? Charlie Sheen. Look at this country. People can't hold on to a job. People are out on the street. You know who's got a job? Charlie Sheen.
Well, no, he just got fired from his job.
Yeah, guess what? You know as well as I do, he's going to get another one.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that at all.
Charlie Sheen, believe me, that guy isn't going to be out of work for very long. He's not going to be out of work for very long. Charlie Sheen is going to get a job, and he's going to get a job very, very quickly. And I can tell you right now, Charlie Sheen is going to be a star again.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Doug Danger about Charlie Sheen. I haven't heard of this guy being a role model, and I certainly haven't seen him being an example to people.
Look, his audience know that he got railroaded by producers. The audience is on his side.
What audience?
The audience that knows his work. Charlie Sheen's audience is on his side. He's popular because we look up to him. He does what we wish for. We could do, if our kids grow up to be like him, we'd be better off in society, to be honest with you.
But so if our kids grow up to live with hookers, if our kids grow up to be drug addicts, if our kids grow up to be...
You're concentrating on all these negativities that you think are so essential, Phil. He's popular because we look up to him. He does what we wish we could do. He does things that the rest of us can't do. He does things as a man that the rest of us can't do. He has the, you know, he's a headstrong guy. He sticks to his guns. That's what we want. That's what we want our kids to do. That's what we stand up for. And I think that the audience in America out there, the television audience, I think the radio audience, I think they know that. And I think this is why Charlie Sheen has become, as I mentioned, one of the most popular TV and movie stars around. And your audience knows that. The television audience knows that. The movie audience knows that. And I think they've made a really, really big mistake at CBS.
Well, I guess we're going to find out sooner or later because the guy is out of a job.
He's out of a job, but he's not going to be out of a job for long. I'm telling you right now that everybody that's cutting Charlie Sheen out is making not only a huge mistake, they're making themselves look like an ass. The people at CBS are going to look stupid. These people that got upset with him because of this Chaim Levine.
You know, I don't understand how it is that that a guy like Mel Gibson can go do this and do that, and he gets leaned on, although he's still, you know, he's got a gig, but or he's got gigs. But still, you know, that the hateful things that he said, I mean, that was in the news, and that made a lot of headlines. Charlie, and frankly, other people, prominent people in the news. But Charlie Sheen comes out with this Chaim Levine thing, and it's that people throw it away, you know.
Because he was talking about Jews, and
well, Mel Gibson was
talking in terms of the entire race. Okay, Charlie Sheen was mentioning one guy, and if you'll excuse my language, Phil, this is sort of, you know, but he was talking about one douchebag. Okay, and
so he was talking about one douchebag Jew.
He didn't say douchebag Jew.
No, he said Chaim Levine. Okay.
You know, just because you know how to go, you know, how to do that, I don't know what you call it.
What?
You know how to go, fine, now, however you do that, does that, you think that makes you, like, you know, you understand Jews? Because
no, it doesn't make me understand, just, I'm pronouncing it the way it's supposed to be pronounced, all right? Look, I could wear a pair of pink socks, it doesn't mean I understand gay people.
Wow! Wow, is that homophobic?
How's that homophobic, man?
Pink socks?
I was thinking of Nathan Lane in the Birdcage movie.
CBS is going to go under, and we won't have anything else to watch without him. America will turn away from TV out of disgust. That's what I'm talking about. He went after one Jew. That's permissible.
That's permissible. 877-876-PHIL. Good luck. Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger talking about Charlie Sheen. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, yesterday I said, this Charlie Sheen story was happening, I said, you know what, it may be something that people like to see on TV, but I don't think it's got any critical mass. And I was right. And I understand that people tweet about it, and I understand, but, you know, whatever it is that people are talking about when it comes to Charlie Sheen, Doug Danger, he sure didn't know what it is, or what it was, or what it am. Whatever it is that's going on out there in America, when it comes to Charlie Sheen, man, we brought the wrong guy on the show tonight. If there's any critical mass about Charlie Sheen, if there's anything that people are talking about, we got the wrong guy on the show tonight to try to guide us to that point. I don't personally, to be honest with you, care. But then I'm in the media. Every day of my life, I'm seeing some story about somebody or something, right? I mean, I live my life sifting through this garbage. And about 90% of the stuff that you read every day, folks, that they will tell you is news is not news. It's just something that some guy who calls himself an editor put up on the wire because he doesn't know what else to put on the wire. He's as clueless as you and I. Some people will say, well, Charlie Sheen isn't news. Well, yeah, he is. Because like I said, the news is the intersection of what's interesting and what's important. Who decides what's important? Ultimately, and I was going to say you and me, but really we don't. We don't decide what's important. Who decides what's important is generally an editor someplace. By the time it gets to us, somebody else has already made the decision it's important. Now, we may not read it or care about it, and then that guy adjusts his opinion. Charlie Sheen, whether you're interested in it or not, or I'm interested in it or not, is all over the place. It's the news, right? But it's very hard to gauge what people think. I think that we look at him and we say, what a waste, you know, what a reckless man, what a crazy man. I think we look at him and we say, well, this guy is a train wreck, you know, or he's an automobile accident or something. But at the end of the day, it's pretty interesting to see just how far this guy's going to be able to go before he blows up, you know, before his head flies off or something.
I think the guy's going to go in like a nut house or something.
You one would think that. But when I listen to him talking, I hear a really egotistical guy, if you will, or perhaps a manic guy, but I don't hear a guy that's on his way to the nut house. What I do hear is a guy who has been towing the Catholic line all of his life, and somehow, somewhere along the line, he just sort of, you know, reacted to it, said no. He didn't want to do that anymore. And, you know, that's where that's at. I mean, all this stuff started when he was beating up a hooker or something?
Yeah, he didn't beat up a hooker, but he snorted a whole bunch of cocaine.
And he was shouting the N-word, and he was doing lots of drugs. I guess he's really proud of that, and who knows? Maybe it's something to be proud of. I hope he doesn't wind up like, you know, 90 million other guys. I can do anything I want. I can do it as much as I want. I can do it as long as I want. And, you know, we find him in a parking garage laying someplace, you know, under his car. But it all started with a moment of excess, I think. And then it just sort of spiraled into this, oh, well, now he's got problems on the TV show, and it looks like the TV show, and he are splitting. And now we got this. There ain't no TV show left. And now he's saying that he's the savior, and he's coming to the rescue of these cats that work with him, you know, the criers and the rest of them. And he's saying, and they're not helping me at all. I mean, that's a guy he's beyond simply being reborn again as a man with confidence. That's a cat that's just stone blind, megalomaniacal. I mean, nowhere does he see that what he did caused a lot of those problems.
I mean, you know, you're preaching to the choir, man. Everybody agrees with you. You know, Doug Zanger, on the other hand, nobody agreed with that guy.
I don't think anybody took Doug Zanger seriously, want my honest opinion. Who would? Bunch of stupid stuff that he was saying. Role model. All right, well, Mr. Sheen, good luck to you. In any event...
Well, what are you saying, man? Good luck to him. That's all that guy gets.
I'd like to see, you know, I hope Charlie Sheen doesn't go away. I hope he stays in the news. I want to see how long this guy can actually walk upright. I'm not kidding.
What do you mean?
I'd like to see this guy continue. You know what, Charlie? If I could follow you around, man, for like week after week, I just watch you do all the drugs that you say you can do. I want to watch it happen. And when you slack off, I'll say, nope, come on, keep going. Come on, cut out another line. Let's go.
Like, see him not doing a line of crank or something like that.
How about that? How much meth do you do, Charlie?
You think he does meth?
No. No, I do not think he does meth. I think he does coke. I think he probably smokes heroin. Might even tie off every now and again. Smokes a lot of weed. Drinks a lot of booze. I don't think he's necessarily a meth freak. But let's see, you know. Maybe he can get his kisser on that face as a meth.
Man, I'd love to see what he looked like after about 5 years.
I wouldn't. Oh, my God. All right, let's move on to another story because it's you know, I'm starting to, you know, want to go out and score.
You kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. In the wake of a high-profile suicide of a gay Rutgers University student last fall, the New Jersey College will implement gender-neutral housing in an attempt to make the university more inclusive. 20 to 30 students will participate in a pilot program during the gender-neutral housing. 20 to 30 students will participate in a pilot program during the 2011-2012 school year, which will allow students to choose their roommates regardless of gender or sexual orientation. Three dormitories in New Brunswick, New Jersey, will be part of the pilot program. Students must apply to live in a... Co-ed housing can ease an LGBTQ student. What's that?
It's a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer.
Yeah.
What do you mean queer?
Well, what else is Q?
Well, it ain't that. It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and
quadsexual.
Quadsexual. What do you mean quadsexual? In any event, it can ease their fear of not being accepted by his or her assigned roommate, according to Joan Carbone, executive director of Residence Life, as she was talking to the Daily Targum, which is...
Daily what?
Daily Targum.
That my grandmother used to make that.
Your grandmother used to make what, Targum?
Yeah. Talking about sorghum? Oh, yeah.
Sorghum, man, not Targum. In any event, this has been under discussion for a long time, university officials said in a statement. In the aftermath of this Clementi tragedy, who was the poor young student that committed suicide, members of the university's LGBTQ community told the administration that gender-neutral housing would help create an even more inclusive environment. Tyler Clementi jumped from the George Washington Bridge in September after two other Rutgers students allegedly videotaped a sexual encounter between him and another man and posted the video online. Boy, that's about it. I don't know whether it's ignorant, cruel, or both. Maybe this outcome, you know, the two guys that videotaped that sexual encounter, both of those guys are probably well in the closet.
Man, you always talk about a guy being in the closet and he's homophobic.
I'm just quoting Harvey Milk. Hey, he should have known, because he got killed by a guy that was so deep in the closet. I don't think anybody realizes it today. So this poor boy jumps from a bridge after somebody videotapes him and another student, and they post it online. Maybe the outcome would have been different if he'd been able to choose his own roommate. Instead, he had to choose these douchebags.
What's LGBTQ?
I don't know, bud. Why don't you look it up? LGBTQ. Rutgers Junior, it's queer.
It is queer.
Yeah, that's what Jason just said. What does queer mean, anyway?
I think queer with being gay. No, queer means if you're gay, but you're like real gay.
You're gay, but you're real gay. You know what? I don't understand that.
Well, I know, really. Like, if you're gay, but if you're, like, swishy.
You're just guessing, man.
Queer's identifying as part of the gay culture.
Queer is identifying as part of the gay culture. So if you march in the Halloween parade in West Hollywood?
Well, I mean, a lot of straight people do that, you know. But if you...
If you wear assless chaps...
If I wear assless chaps.
Well, not you.
No, I know, but that's what you're saying?
Yeah, in the queer parade. I mean, not the queer parade, but the gay parade.
I don't want this to be an excuse for you to be using that word. You understand?
Yeah.
If you wear assless chaps in the Hollywood gay parade.
Yeah, I mean, if you're down, if you dress up like one of the three women in the Brady Bunch, okay? You can be queer as a political label without labeling yourself gay or lesbian.
I don't know. I don't understand. But in any event, Rutgers Junior Ryan Harris, you can be queer but not be gay or lesbian. Man, I don't get that at all.
I think it's something where you got to be queer or gay or whatever to understand it.
Yeah, I guess so, man. Rutgers Junior Ryan Harrington said the student body has been pushing for gender-neutral housing for years, and most students are happy with the university's decision. These are adults. Anything that can help. It gives people more options, and it makes people feel safe in their own living environment, he said, adding that the issue is especially important for transgender students. By the way, I came across a quote. And I never would have come across this quote had I not been given the one of my favorite presents of all time. It was given to me by Brian Glicklick three Christmases ago.
I know what it is.
What?
It's the New York Times headlines.
It's the front pages of the New York Times on CD-ROM. And I never would have come across this had I not had this CD-ROM of New York Times front pages. And I came across one... The front page of the New York Times, and it was for 1970 or 71. Earl Warren was still the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And it said Supreme Court overrules Virginia's. Now, if you are, and I'm not indicting you, but if you're a person that doesn't believe in gay marriage, please listen to this. It says Supreme Court overrules state of Virginia's marriage law. And Earl Warren said, of course we overrule the, that was our decision, and of course we did, because equal protection under the law in the Constitution means you cannot keep people from marrying each other because they're of a different race.
Oh, that had to do with race?
Yes, it was black-white. And he said, and naturally that would make it unconstitutional. There were 15 other states in the year 1970 that had laws prohibiting whites to marry blacks.
Yeah, it's probably, was it a black guy marrying a white lady?
No, bud.
God, man.
It was actually a white guy married to a black woman. That was the test case. Well, what we've been saying all along about equal protection under the law, and I've been saying it at least, I don't know about anybody else, applies equally in the case of gay marriage. Now, you don't have to be against gay marriage to be a conservative. You do not have to be against it. You can be conservative and be in favor of it if you are a constitutionalist, a strict constitutionalist, if you will, equal protection under the law. Meaning, people have a right to be protected equally under the law, gay people, white people, black people, when it comes to marriage.
There are no conservatives going to be in favor of that.
Maybe not, but I just thought I'd lay it out there. We'll be back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Wisconsin lawmakers face recall for their stances on the budget bill. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Run errands, we eat, we play with the kids.
We think
I'm
fun.
If everybody's got skin in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely.
You should. Are you filming?
No, but I love it.
We're trying to get them to the back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
I'm vibrating off my seat.
Yeah, world famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. With Truth Is Our Bitch Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And we have a Patriot hotline here at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL.
Your Patriot hotline, you was talking about gays.
Yeah.
I just got done telling you, man, you don't necessarily have to be a liberal to say, I believe that gay people are protected when it comes to marriage. I'm conservative where it counts, man. Defending the country, fiscally, all of that stuff, okay?
Yeah, well, then I'm going to have you in a conservative club.
I don't care. Maybe I'll be a conservative club of one. But I suspect that there are many who agree with me. And I don't know what you want to call us, but maybe we're the pragmatic conservatives. Maybe we're just the jive-ass conservatives, whatever you want to call us. But we are out there. We're strong. We're out. We're proud. Wait a minute. Makes me sound like I'm gay, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, something like that. Anyway, 877-876-7445. And don't forget to watch us online at philhendryshow.com. Phil TV is here, baby. It has arrived, a multi-camera special effects strewn production of the Phil Hendry Show that you can watch every night as we do our radio show. And right now, if you're watching online, you can see Buddy Bear holding the Dynapep package. Buddy likes to take that stuff.
Yeah, he's wearing his Green Bay Packer helmet, too. Better not use that stuff in a game or he'll be kicked out of football.
What are you talking about, you jackass? It's a sponsor, and it's only 2%. What did I say it was? Oh, it's 2 calories.
Yeah, 2 calories, ain't got no sugar. It's all natural ingredient, man.
Oh.
You talking about to get kicked out of football? That's what you ought to be taking instead of some of that other stuff. And it keeps us alert, wide-eyed, and bushy-tailed, and they're a great sponsor, Dynapep. All right. Here on the Phil Henry Show tonight, Representative Rangel abolishing unions, collective bargaining is abolishing a union's right to collectively bargain is close to slavery. Man, what would ever happen to this country if we ever actually had slavery, if Hitler ever really did come back?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, we have this tendency to really go to the extreme when we're drawing on comparisons. We either got George Bush's Hitler, or we have abolishing collective bargaining as close to slavery. You know?
Well, I like... collective bargaining for like what? I'm not even sure I know what that is.
Collective bargaining, where you sit down and you are compelled to bargain with either the union or your employer when it comes to certain issues. Well, they're not looking to abolish collective bargaining when it comes to wages. They are looking to abolish it when it comes to benefits and these other things, which are the real money drain. So they have asked to increase the contribution of union members to medical plans, and at the same time, they are asking to abolish the collective bargaining aspect, that part of collective bargaining that applies to benefits such as health insurance. Okay? So that's what the congressman says is close to slavery, because he's using it in the general sense, all collective bargaining. But nobody has said let's get rid of all collective bargaining. They've talked about getting rid of collective bargaining in those particular areas. Now, slavery, the reality of slavery, okay, what is close to slavery? Indentured servitude.
I don't know what that is either.
Yeah, me neither.
Indentured servitude was slavery, but you could buy your way out of it. It was slavery, but it had an end to it. It was slavery, but it was mostly white folks. In fact, I think it was like all white people. I don't know of any black folks that came to. Well, I'm sure that there were, but I black people did not fare all that well when they were even released as freed men, because they had a thing called the Freedmen's Bureau after the Civil War. But even before that, if a slave bought his freedom, and you could do that, it didn't necessarily mean that he stayed free. I mean, he had to find his way to the North. He had to make sure that he didn't run afoul of the law, or he didn't run afoul of people that were nefarious and criminal, or he would be kidnapped and sold back into slavery, you know?
Yeah, that's against the law, though.
It was against the law, but it happened. And when it came to the law, you know, there was a pecking order back in those days. It just was. And so it was a touchy, troubling time, man, to be alive if you were black. Now, indentured servitude was a system by which a poor white person in Europe, and somebody says, we need a servant, and you'll be with us for 10 years or 7 years. I think it was something like 7 to 10 years, and then you're free. But until that time, you do what we tell you, when we tell you, how we tell you, and like that.
Oh, man. I'll bet you there was some bad stuff happened there.
Oh, yeah. You know, it wasn't a bed of roses either. Well, maybe that's what Charlie Rangel's talking about when he said it would be close to slavery, be indentured servitude. All right, let's talk about that. Hi, I'm in the Teachers Union of Wisconsin. Aha, you're an indentured slave. You're an indentured servant. Yes, I am. That means I'd like you to take your clothes off now and go into that bedroom. I'm going to rape you. Okay.
Well, I mean, he ain't saying literally.
Yes, he is saying literally, man. No, there's nobody saying. He's saying literally.
What do you mean, rape him?
That's what you could do. That's what you could do. See, if he's being figurative, then he should say that. But these people, man, these politicians and these clowns, you know, they all say this stuff, and they never qualify it, and they never say, well, you know, I'm using this in a figurative sense. It really doesn't, listen to it, it really doesn't make any sense at all for the President of the United States to talk about creating jobs in order to improve the economy and find out that mayors and governors are talking about laying people off. Collective bargaining is something that is so close to slavery in terms of abolishing it that it is not an American concept to tell people that they cannot discuss their economic position. So close to slavery. Now, the closest thing to slavery that we've had in this country is indentured servitude, which means many times women were raped. People were, sold to other people. Indentured servitude wasn't that much different from slavery. working all hours, man. 24 hours sometimes, 48 hours sometimes. The most backbreaking labor you can possibly think of. Humiliation after humiliation. Hardly any time off. And if you were sick, too bad. Couldn't take a sick day. That's indentured servitude. That's close to slavery. That's what Rangel's talking about. And I personally think that we ought to hold these guys, you know, to what they're saying.
What about Hitler?
What, a Hitler's the same thing. You want to call Hitler? Are you kidding me? You talk about Hitler? Hitler would pass a decree, and he would say, as they did the Nuremberg laws, you're a Jew? Yeah, guess what? You don't get to walk on the sidewalk anymore. Well, that's against the German Constitution. And it was. He said, I don't care. Are you giving me crap? I'm Hitler. Yeah, but the German put him in a concentration camp. He just gave me crap.
Yeah, that's it. Obama's like that.
Anybody that says Obama's like that or George Bush is a blithering imbecile. And they know that. And they don't really mean it.
Yeah, but they only mean it. They're only saying it's kind of like that.
Well, then they ought to say that, man, because Adolf Hitler loses all meaning, as does slavery or indentured servitude, when these minuscule minds go to work on it, when these pea brains, like it's either Rangel or somebody, saying,
well, it's just like slavery.
Well, these cats, if they actually would educate people as to what slavery was or Adolf Hitler was, they wouldn't be making these silly comparisons. And you know what else it does? To say that it's close to slavery, that mocks the actual experience of slaves. And those slaves, some of them were Charlie Rangel's ancestors. You know,
I didn't know he's black.
What do you mean you didn't know he's black?
Well, yeah, I mean he looks Cuban.
Cuban?
What do you mean Cuban? The guy's black as he's as black as the inside of a cow.
Why, will you shut up with that?
What are you talking about, man? I thought the guy was Cuban.
Hold on, man. I'm gagging on that bull crap. Hold on.
I did.
Cuban? What makes you think Charlie Rangel's Cuban?
He looked like he's got a wavy hair.
Wavy hair.
Bet he conks it.
What do you mean conks it, man?
Well, I don't think he does conk it, but maybe he does.
Are you kidding me? That guy's black?
Are you kidding me? You didn't know that?
Oh.
Hold on. God, man. Every night last hour, I'm gagging on it.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
I'm going to belch.
Hold on, man.
Put me on. You didn't know that Charlie Rangel was a black guy?
No, I did not, man. I thought the guy was Puerto Rican.
Now he's Puerto Rican.
Something like that.
Charles Rangel is an African American. He's a Korean War veteran. He's served this country well. He's gotten in a lot of problems. He had the ethics thing. You know, he's come up against it. But this is a stupid-ass thing to say, in my opinion. And it's only my opinion. We actually have this on tape, bud.
Yeah, the guy here says here, Rangel, Charlie, collective bargaining, slavery.
No kidding. All right, let's listen here then to Rangel, Charlie. Rangel, Charlie, Charlie, and here he is on slavery.
It doesn't really make any sense at all for the President of the United States to talk about creating jobs in order to move and improve the economy and find out that mayors and governors are talking about laying off people. Collective bargaining is something that is so close to slavery in terms of abolishing it that it is not an American concept to tell people that they cannot discuss their economic position.
You see, nobody is saying you can't discuss your economic position. What they're saying is they don't want to compel it. It's a sad time, man. You know, it's a mind screwer, you know. And we got all these problems. Some cat's coming out and saying stuff like that. Because I don't know why, you know. I don't know why.
Maybe he's trying to hurt the country.
You know, at this particular point, I'd believe that.
No, wait a minute, man. You can't say that just because he's black.
A minute ago, he was a Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Well, I forgot.
Yeah, huh? All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Can't say that because he's black. 877-876-PHIL. A world-famous fashion designer hates Jews. Who is it? You got it, Charlie Sheen. No, it's somebody else. Very close. and he loves Hitler. And now he doesn't have a job. Plus, if you went shopping today, your hands are probably still covered in fecal bacteria and E. coli. We'll tell you about that when we come back here. Always good news on the world-famous Radio for Patriots by Patriots, Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Can you answer the phone? I don't care, man. I may take calls, I may not. I don't know. You know how we are in our news hour, man. You know, it's...
Yeah, you ain't never take a call on news hour yet.
Bull crap. Yes, I have, man. But they're very few and far between. Now, listen. John Galliano fired by Dior in wake of I Love Hitler video. Natalie Portman blasts Galliano, saying Hitler was bad, wasn't he? No, she didn't say that. I'm sorry. That was a...
Why do you do that, man? Make Natalie Portman look all douche-like.
What do you mean douche-like, man?
Well, you're not going to say that.
All right. You know what I thought? Well, the reason why I said that, Bud, as long as you're asking me the question, is, of course, what the guy said was jive. You know, Natalie Portman. Why is that a headline? I think it's a headline because we want to know what Natalie Portman thinks. Yes, we do. It's true. But I think that there are far more interesting and intelligent things that Natalie Portman has to say than what she said. Although I suppose, you know what, I talk too much.
No, you don't, man. That's your job.
Well, that's right. I'm doing a talk show. I suppose that at the end of the day, that's an important thing to say. By the way, this guy is a douchebag. Hitler was not a good person. I don't know what's wrong with him. Fashion designer Patricia Field defended him. Who is she? I don't know. Let's find out. World-famous designer John Galliano. Who is he? I don't know. Let's find out. Anybody out there know? I know a lot of women do, and probably some men, but I do not know who he is, and that's why I dress like a slob. Anyway, world fashion designer John Galliano, world-famous, went from suspended to fired at fashion house Dior after a 2010 video in which he said, I love Hitler, and this went public on Monday. Where is this guy, Galliano? Here it is. Let's listen. Here are the comments from this video where he says, I love Hitler.
Are you blonde? Are you blonde with
no, but I love Hitler.
Hitler.
People like you would be dead today. Your mothers, your forefathers would be gassed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, problem.
With you? Yeah, I know.
With all people. You don't like peace. You don't want peace in the world?
Not with people like ugly people.
But, no, where are you from? Where are you from?
What is that, man?
Oh, yeah, were you trying to pick those chicks up?
I don't think so. It sounded to me like he was hammered.
Yeah, he's obviously drunk.
No, I know that, man, but it was in a bar or something.
I don't think he was trying to pick him up. Are you, what, are you crazy? I mean, listen, he's saying, I think he's drunk, and he's saying what he's saying. Okay, so anyway, in light of this video, and as an individual who's proud to be Jewish, Portman said in a statement Tuesday, I will not be associated with Mr. Galliano in any way. People like you would be dead, the designer slurred to patrons at a neighboring table in the video posted on the Sun website. Your mothers, your forefathers would all be gassed dead. He also told those who made the video, who were French and Italian, not Jewish, the Sun said, that he had a problem with them because they were ugly. The Tuesday firing comes only days ahead of Friday's Dior show during Paris Fashion Week. In light of the deeply offensive statements and conduct by John Galliano in that video, Christian Dior has commenced termination procedures against him, although we don't like Jews either. The
say that?
No, it doesn't. I'm joking.
But why do you do that, man? I don't know whether you're serious or not.
Because I want to throw something interesting in. The story's so boring.
Well, why are you reading it then?
Because I have to. I mean, it's interesting in light of the fact the guy got drunk and said some stupid stuff. Does he really hate Jewish people? I don't know, probably, but I bet you never would have come out of his big fat yap had he not been hammered beyond all belief. Boy, that guy was rat-tailed, man.
Yeah, he definitely was. He was all rat-housed.
Rat-housed.
What do you mean rat-housed, man?
I mean rat-housed.
Anyway, We unequivocally condemn the statements made by John Galliano, which are in total contradiction to the longstanding core values of Christian Dior, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Yavol. Anyway, fashion designer Patricia Field is defending Galliano. Patricia Field, who used to make chocolate chip cookies, you know, Mrs. Fields?
Is that her?
No, I'm kidding.
Come on, man, cut it out.
All right, I'm sorry. Patricia Field in Women's Wear Daily reports that Field, famous for her work on Sex and the City, sent an email blast to 500 fans, blogs, and media titled In Praise of John Galliano. The message, which also appeared on her Facebook page, reads, "Beauty, intelligence, and energy would describe John as I know him. Where in this trilogy could one find hate? True, I agree with him on his views on Jews. I don't like them either. Those sheenies downtown." I No, he didn't say that. I'm kidding.
But people are going to think that he said that, man.
It ain't a he. It's a she. I'm kidding. She didn't. Where in this trilogy could one find hate, I ask you. My second question is, what exactly did he say? And the third is, what's really going on here? Well, then you don't even know what's in the story, do you, Mrs. Field? In an interview with Women's Wear Daily, she said she's surprised the fashion community doesn't see that this videotape behavior, which in which he declares, "I love Hitler," is a farce. And I would certainly can hear how hammered he is. People in fashion, all they do is go and see John Galliano Theater every season. That's what he gives them. To me, this was the same, except it wasn't in a theater or in a movie. John lives in theater.
It's all theater, darling. It's fine.
Well, you know what? This is bad timing, man.
Yeah, on account of they're going to have a fashion show.
Right. Bad timing, baby. It comes a week ahead of this big fashion show, and they don't need any distractions, and they don't need any this, and they don't need any that. So they decided, let's fire his gay ass. I mean,
I bet he is, though. I bet he's LGBTQ.
I think he's mostly Q.
Yeah.
Anyway, they fired the man, and so much for free speech. You know, Lennon is famous for having said, "Of course I believe in free speech," and no, not John Lennon. Lennon, the founder of the Russian Revolution, is famous for saying, "Yes, I believe in free speech. You're free to say what you want, and I'm free to shoot you for it." Well, we're not too far off of that in America. Of course, we don't kill you for the things you say, but we sue you, we fire you.
Sometimes you get your ass kicked.
Yep, sometimes you get your ass kicked. So, we got free speech, man. Is it free? It's freer. It's freer than most, okay? We're going to come back here in a world-famous Phil Henry show with more on this story. And Christopher Dodd running the motion picture business. Well,
Phil Henry.
Who?
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're looking at our video cast tonight, our Phil TV video cast, that is the great city of Las Vegas that is flowing behind me. It is sunshine, and it's lit up bright as can be because it's a tape loop. However...
Yeah, I can even see, like, the cars jump about 10 feet every now and again.
It still looks pretty bitchin', though.
It does, man. And they're the M&M place.
That M&M place is gay.
What do you mean gay?
I don't like the M&M place either. Although the Coca-Cola museum next door is...
Oh, are you kidding me, man? You go to the Coca-Cola museum before you went to M&M.
Yeah.
Man, you're gay.
Well, I'm sure I'm going to go to the M&M factory.
It ain't no factory, man. It's a store.
It's a store where they sell M&M stuff.
Well, what do you mean?
They have, like, what do they got, Robert?
They got everything, man. They got M&M, like, briefcases.
M&M briefcases? That's about as LBGTQ as you can get.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Enough about the M&M Museum in Vegas. All right. So, anyway, getting back to this Galliano guy, and, you know, it is worth saying, Would you keep on staff somebody who publicly uttered these things, like, "Are you a Jew? I think you ought to be gassed," even if the guy was hammered, I mean, to just right to his ears, just as drunk can be?
Well, you keep him on staff, and he don't like black people.
I said I don't like black people sometimes.
You're an idiot, man. You don't like black people, but you got a black girlfriend.
What's different? What's weird about that?
That's totally weird, Bill. How long have you been going out with her?
About 2 years.
2 years you've been going out with your black girlfriend, but you don't like black people.
Well, yeah.
You know something? I ought to fire you just for being stupid, that's all.
Not for being racist, just dumb.
Well, I don't know what's dumb about it.
Anyway, to make a long story short, this drunk ass, this Galliano guy says Jews this, Jews that. Now, I was going to tell the staff the story of a guy named Elvis Costello. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He is a rock and roller. He was very big in the late 70s on into the 80s. He had a couple of huge albums and was a chart-topping rock and roll star from England, Elvis Costello. Now, he also was a part of what was referred to in those days as the New Wave. It was a little bit after the advent of punk rock. New Wave was Elvis Costello, The Jam, I don't know, man, just bands like that, you know, Romeo Void, bands like that. So anyway, make a long story even longer. He's sitting in a bar one night, and he's in this bar with two old school rock and rollers. One of them is Stephen Stills, who was with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And another is a woman named Bonnie Bramlett, who had sung with, my God, she'd been with Ike and Tina Turner. She'd been with Eric Clapton. She'd sung backup. She'd had her own group with her husband. So they're in this bar. So you got Elvis Costello there with his, his big, goofy-looking horn-rimmed glasses and his new wave thang. And you got Stephen Stills and Bonnie Bramlett. Now, this guy Costello, okay?
Yeah.
They were talking about Ray Charles. And Elvis Costello said Ray Charles was nothing more than a dumb, blind N-word.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
You're kidding.
No. A dumb, blind N-word, and he got smacked around by both of them, Stills and Bramlett. Bramlett smacked him, and then Stephen Stills punched him. Now, so he shows up for a press conference, maybe the next day or the day after this fight, which wasn't a fight at all. He basically got his ass kicked around. I can't say that they beat him up, but they did not hold back. Probably, I think he bloodied him up a little bit. And anyway, he's at this press conference, and he made the following statement. He said, "I'm not a racist, but I found it necessary to say something outrageous." He said, "I found it necessary to provoke these people. They were boring me so much."
Dude, what do you mean?
He was bored by them, so he said that?
Yeah, he did. He felt that was the best possible thing he could say. Now, you know, that's a horrible thing to say. There's no question. The British, especially the real British, you know, I mean, those people, they got some pretty sharp tongues on them. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, yeah, I know what you're saying. They don't hold back.
No, they don't hold back. British people don't hold back. They're pretty smart-ass. Their humor's really dry. And they will say stuff just to get a rise out of you, man. If you've ever, especially if you're sitting there drinking with them, you know.
Well, what do you mean? They try to start a fight?
A lot of British people do. I mean, that's just, no, they don't try to start a fight. That's the wrong way of putting it. They like to see what you're made of. The British will get involve themselves in conversation and in senses of humorous discussions where they're giving it to you, man. They'll make fun of your looks. They'll make fun of your clothes, you know. They'll make fun of your politics. They'll make fun of your national origin. You know, and people that don't get it or are easily provoked, they wind up provoking them into a fight. And they think it's some of them think it's really funny. And so Elvis Costello says this thing. Now, you can imagine, here's a couple of white kids, Stevens, a couple of Americans. Both of them grew up with blues music. That's something they love and know. Stephen Stills, kind of a country rock guy, too. Bonnie Bramlett, she traveled with Ike and Tina Turner, and she's very much into R&B and, you know, American white hippies. And here comes this smart-ass, limey, you know, new wave guy talking about Ray Charles being a dumb, blind, blankety-blank. So they punched him out.
Yeah, do you think he knew?
I'd have to. I gotta believe he expected it.
Well, how a guy going to sit there and wait to get his ass kicked? What's that about?
I think for Elvis Costello, it was worth it. I think it was worth it for him to get his ass beat up a little bit just so he could liven up the night.
So in other words, he allowed himself to get his ass kicked for everybody's entertainment.
Yes. That's what he did, man.
That's dumb.
I don't know. I mean, you know, but he did. He you know, and he said, I found it necessary to outrage these people. Something along those lines. And but he didn't conclude it there. He said, I found it necessary to outrage these people because they were either boring me to tears or they were it was so dull or the evening was so dull that I found it. It became necessary for me to outrage these people. So he said the most outrageous thing he could say. Now, the reason why I bring all of that up is, you know, I can easily see someone saying something like that to piss people off and not be a racist.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Why not?
Because why would that occur to you, man? If it occurred to you, then you must be.
Well, are you saying, Robert, in other words, just because he thought of that as a way to piss these people off, that makes him a racist?
Well, I mean, why'd he say that?
I think, you know, it's possible, and I don't know, but it's possible.
Maybe they were talking about it.
Well, I was going to say, maybe it's possible they were discussing Ray Charles. They were discussing Ray Charles and probably were talking about how great he is. I mean, they must have been, because why did Elvis Costello bring it up? And they're talking about how great he is and how fantastic he is and what a great singer he is and great songs and how he's a big influence. They were probably going on about him, and Costello probably saw that as a perfect opportunity to, as he said, outrage these people.
And then get his ass kicked.
Well, like I said, I don't know if he got his ass kicked, but he was punched out. I know that Bramlett hit him, and I think Stephen Stills punched him around pretty good. Stills is not a retiring guy. I mean, I've seen that guy in public more than once with a busted nose or a black eye. I think he's mixed it up a few times, but he did assault Elvis Costello. Now,
did Elvis Costello sue or anything?
I don't think so. I think what happened was his record company told him, you know what, you better get up there and apologize for that. I don't think anybody associated with Elvis Costello was thinking about suing anybody, because really he looked like the horse's ass with this thing, you know, saying what he said. And after it came out that, you know, he got punched around and slapped around by these people, that it was, you know, everybody agreed with that and everybody thought it was good. And he didn't have a friend in the world. But I remember thinking, it was kind of a funny thing to say.
What about, talk about Ray Charles?
No, not about Ray Charles. It was funny when he said, I found it necessary to outrage these people.
Yeah, he outraged them, man. He did a good thing he didn't say it in front of me. You know, I would have, man, that wouldn't have been on Elvis Costello. That would have been, he made one album, that's it.
Yeah, but you notice he didn't say it in front of you. He probably wouldn't have said that in front of a black person. I bet you money he wouldn't have said that in front of a black. But I think what happened was, here are these two typical American hippies, white people, talking about the blues. And here's a new wave guy from England who's a good, you know, 10, 15 years younger than them, saying, you know, I'm tired of you people. I'm tired of your music. I'm tired of your hippy-dippy. I'm tired of America. And I think I'm going to say something now that's going to piss you, you know, make you really angry. And that'll be fun for me, even if I do get punched.
Man, I'll tell you something right now, man. If that's the way that the British people is, there's no way. No way, no way.
No way for what?
They're just, I wouldn't want them to be anywhere around me.
I wouldn't want them driving a car or anything.
What are you talking about, man? I mean, I'm just trying to tell you, that's the way some British people are. It doesn't mean they're nuts. I mean, I guess you have to be a little, but it just means that that's how they get their kicks. They get their kicks testing people. All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 1-800-449... what is our number? 1-800... No, it's 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Did middle schoolers in Tacoma, Washington break the first rule of Fight Club? Are your hands covered in fecal matter? Do you want to listen to this? Of course you do. When we come back, you'll hear all about it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots... Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Actually, Rance got the, and welcome back here, world famous Phil Henry Show here, Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Rance actually looked up the actual quote. Elvis Costello called Ray Charles a blind, ignorant N-word, and then he also called James Brown a jive-ass N-word. And the actual quote that he gave, and this is not the actual quote. I was right. The quote he gave in 1979 was, I felt it necessary to outrage these people. But in 1982, he told Rolling Stone magazine, quote, what it was about was that I said the most outrageous thing I could possibly say to them that I knew in my drunken logic would anger them more than anything else. So
he was trying to get his ass kicked.
He was trying to liven up the conversation. He was, I shouldn't even say like, yeah, he was. He was trying to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, and he did, too.
Yeah, I think he got his ass kicked, yeah. I think he did. But I'm not sure because it wasn't an old-fashioned beating. It wasn't like a street beating. But I think he got bloodied up, and that was the end of that. Middle school sixth graders have been expelled for a fight club. These are sixth graders, so they're
about 11.
About 11 years old, right. Nine sixth-grade boys in Tacoma, Washington, were expelled from Stewart Middle School on Monday after the officials at the Tacoma school learned about their suspected participation in a so-called fight club. Tacoma Public School spokesman Dan Vopel said it came to light when a relative of one participant spoke to television station KCPQ. The station aired the video on Sunday from one boy's cell phone showing two boys, their faces blurred, engaged in a fight. School officials watched the video Monday morning and deduced, you know, this is a story that would, in another time, another place, would never be a national story, because it would have been a local story, but somehow it made it onto the national wire. So these kids had a fight club, big deal, in a middle school, big deal. The parents and the teachers are dealing with it, big deal. Maybe one of these adults spoke out about it. So what? Oh, God. Every day, parents blithely drop their toddlers into the baskets of shock. Here we go again with this story. I guess it's supposed to be interesting. E. coli and fecal matter. Researchers from the University of Arizona swabbed shopping cart handles in four states. What do you think they found?
Filthy.
Exactly. Of the 85 carts, 72% turned out to have a marker for fecal bacteria. The researchers took a closer look at the sample from 36 carts. So in other words, folks, when you go to the grocery store and you find a shopping cart, you got to wipe it off.
You
better believe I do. You better believe I do. Okay? Wipe it off with one of them handy wipes or whatever the hell they got. And just be mindful of the fact that the stuff you touch is filthy. I don't know why people need to have that drilled into their head, you know?
Well, I mean, you don't expect to have fecal matter.
I don't care what it's got, man. A shopping cart handle is going to be absolutely filthy. You should assume that it's got leprosy on it. I'm serious.
Yeah, but then you could turn like into that one guy, J.P. Morgan or whatever.
What do you mean, J.P. Morgan?
What? That guy that didn't cut his fingernails?
Howard Hughes?
Yeah, he washed his hands a lot. You laughing at?
You talk like a retard.
Hey. You're right, bud. His name was Howard Hughes, okay? And yes, he was obsessed with the cleanliness thing. He was a very weird cat. Very, very strange man. And
that the guy that had all them Mormons?
Yeah, he had a lot of Mormons, yeah. He had a lot of Mormons. All right, what do you mean had a lot of Mormons?
Maybe he slept with a lot of Mormons.
No, he didn't sleep with Mormons. He had Mormons as bodyguards and business associates because they were clean-living, honest guys. They weren't going to screw him. They weren't going to stick it to him, you know. At that particular point in his life, Howard Hughes had apparently, and I don't know, lost his mind enough. Did you see that movie, by the way, with what's his name?
Yeah, The Hoax, Richard Gere.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That's a very good movie. And that whole Clifford Irving thing, I remember when all of that happened. And when Howard Hughes did that phone call, he did a conference call, and he did a conference call with all these publishers and all of these reporters, and he said, I have no idea who this guy is. I never talked to him. He sounded very lucid to me, you know.
Well, I mean, that was back in the 70s before he like you know, growing his fingernail and everything.
Well, back in the 70s, before he was growing his fingernails, it was well past his public period. And I think by that time, Howard Hughes was beginning to withdraw more and more and more. But he certainly sounded, you know, like he had his act together. But, yeah, he wiped everything off. He was one of these guys that was, I don't know what you call it, they're phobic, man, about germs. So, yes, you should take those handy wipes, man, and wipe down the shopping cart.
Well, what are you supposed to wipe down, too? Like the groceries, too? I mean, well, you know, you can't, I mean, we do have an immune system.
Yes, we've got an immune system. You're right. We've got an immune system, man. Let me put it to you this way, man. You don't want to go through what I went through 2 years ago when I got that damn swine flu, and Rance got the same thing, okay?
You guys probably gave it to each other on account of your, you know,
you shut up.
I didn't mean anything.
The fact of the matter is, I know I got that damn swine flu from them shopping carts, so all they're trying to tell you is, wipe this stuff off, don't be an idiot. If you want to get sick, go ahead, man, I don't care. It's fine with me. But they got those things out in front of those supermarkets for a reason. I wiped the damn cart down, man. You have to assume that everything's filthy. I mean filthy. Like when you come home with fruit from the supermarket, do you wash it off?
I don't buy fruit.
What about you, bud?
Me neither.
Why not?
What do you mean?
Why don't you buy fruit?
I don't know. I don't like it.
You should buy fruit, man. It's good for your system. What? You don't buy fruit?
I don't. Yeah, I do, but I mean, I don't buy it in the supermarket.
Well, where do you buy it?
I get it like at a 7-Eleven.
What do you buy?
I get like a fruit, one of them fruit pops or something.
Not a fruit pop, you jackass. I'm talking about an actual piece of fruit. You guys don't eat it.
Not so you notice it.
Not so as I'd notice it. Both you guys are going to get sick. Just because you're young, man, you can live on Oreo cookies and Marlboros. All right, NASCAR's military sponsorships have been questioned. This is a real funny one. The National Guard spends $20 million to sponsor Dale Earnhardt's NASCAR, the most popular driver on the NASCAR circuit. The U.S. Army pays $7.4 million to sponsor Ryan Newman. The U.S. Air Force doles out $1.6 million for Al Allmendinger. However, Betty McCollum, a Democrat from Minnesota, recently proposed an amendment that would have banned the Pentagon from using taxpayer dollars to sponsor NASCAR. The House voted down the proposal last week, but McCollum insisted the fight was far from over. She planned to introduce broader legislation that would prohibit taxpayer funds from being used for sponsorship of race cars, dragsters, Indy cars, and motorcycle racing. This vote is about priorities and making smart choices. Do you want to get young men in the military and young women, Ms. McCollum? NASCAR ain't a bad place to advertise the U.S. military. Are you nuts? Anyway, Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson, I'm sorry. And, of course, our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. See you tomorrow here on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry.